Montana talks here. Live and local. This is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Broadcasting live across the great state of Montana, powered by the Montana Electric Cooperative Association. Your Montana Electric Cooperative, they do much more than keep the lights on for you. This is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
John, I don't know what we were going to talk about. I don't know what we're doing here because we just got a great box that you just picked up. Our 82 Coffee Company swag bag has just arrived. We got the 82 Coffee Company banner here. We got the Tatanka Cigar Company banner here. But, man, we got all sorts of cool 82 Coffee Company mugs. The coffee bean airscape holders, some fresh coffee. I'm waking up just smelling the coffee right now.
Dude, Montana Talks is crushing everybody with the promotional signs. You know, we've got more than any. And there's national syndicated radio people around here. We got more than anybody.
That is true, yeah. Well, we want to, you know, part of the reason you come down here, the whole reason the state of Montana comes to the SHOT Show is to promote Montana business. So that's why it's so great to be promoting Montana business. Tatanka Cigars, Rocky Mountain Liquor. Ken Weinheimer just got such a great operation. He wanted to build the perfect cigar, and, man, he built an incredible cigar with those Tatanka cigars. And then the 82 Coffee Company, Chris Lagunas, still serving in the military. They started that coffee company in Afghanistan on the 82 compound, and really good stuff. I love their dark roast. And then when the base started shutting down, they said, let's keep this thing going. And so he brought it back to Dillon, Montana, and I first got to taste it at Warrior Taste Fest in Bozeman with Warriors in Quiet Waters, and so he shipped down some great swag. So, we got a great setup going here.
Man, that was a competition with the Brits in Afghanistan that I was embedded with, and that was that they would have their fix. Everybody would have their little fix with their tea. And the question was, if you had a little bit of downtime during an op, the question was, who could get that thing set up the fastest and have a cup of hot tea the quickest? Right? It's like, okay, go. You know.
The other day, I did a podcast interview with my friend Tim Tyler down in Georgia. He worked with Pete Hegseth at Concerned Veterans for America. But anyway, we were in Afghanistan, and whenever I would show up at FOB Lightning, they had a little library there. And we'd get together, you know, talk military stuff, politics, whatever. But we had these Brits, and they're all drinking tea. They would put, you know, like a deck of cards. You would have to slap a card on your forehead, and whoever had, I think it was the lowest card, had to be the one to go get everybody's tea and bring the tea back for them. And so, and then I think I saw those same guys again. I saw them again. They got stuck out in a snowstorm with us at Kop Wilderness out in the middle of the mountains of eastern Afghanistan, and we had the best coffee in eastern Afghanistan. So they stopped by, up to see us in our little bee hut, of course.
I was with these guys at their house in Kabul one night, and they had a couple of brand new guys come in, and the brand new guys have to get hazed, and they would chase these guys. I saw them chase a guy around a swimming pool, grab him, put him down on the ground, and then they were smacking him in the forehead with... I'll let you guess.
Oh, no.
we're like, okay, we are out of here before they think to do that to us.
The Brits are crazy. The Brits are crazy. But then again, if you've been to Maggot Fest and watched rugby in Missoula, you already knew that.
Talking about the issues that matter to Montana statewide. This is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
We got a great guest here. So actually, Attorney General Austin Knutson, my mistake, it's on the calendar, right? He's with us coming up in about a half an hour. He'll be here. But meanwhile, we've got some other great guests that are joining us here as we're broadcasting live from the SHOT Show in Las Vegas. It was really funny. Ty Heaps here with X-Overland in Belgrade, Montana, was like, well, at least the listeners didn't get to see the hand and arm signals that went along with John Jackson's story. Whenever John is here, it's always the most unwoke hour of the week. So, So if you were not awake before, you're unwoke now.
That's right.
You are unwoke.
True story.
Now.
Swear to God. True
I
story.
Believe you. Yeah. I believe you. I don't have a reason not to.
Yeah. Well, so Ty Heaps, this is a really cool story, John. I don't know if you got to meet these guys last year, but ex-Overland, I shared some photos of their expeditions and their very cool Overland vehicles. These guys, have they been to all seven continents?
You know,
or
I think
several of them.
Yeah, I think Asia is the big one we're missing at this point. I know Clay has crossed Russia with a separate expedition, so members of the team have certainly touched everywhere. But as far as the show is concerned, we still have a handful to cut off the list. Now, I think next year's got a big one coming. I don't think anything's been released yet, and I'd probably get in trouble putting it out like this, but. Whole Pan American Highway. So from Alaska, Barrow, Alaska to Ushuaia, Patagonia. Did that series, going on 10 years ago at this point. So, we've been having a lot of fun. Now they've been overseas. We just got the rigs back from Africa, and they're going to be shipping back overseas here not too long from now. So, yeah, they did a big African expedition. I think season 2 of Africa is headed out right now, but. Yeah, that's the media side of the house, which is something I have very little to do with these days.
Yeah, so Expedition Overland, so they've had this YouTube show and series on TV where they basically take these incredible off-road vehicles, overland vehicles, and they have the maintenance crews and the logistics and the toughness of these vehicles to survive multiple days to do these overland expeditions in Norway, in Alaska, wherever, right? But then you've got the ranch in the Gallatin Valley as well. Talk about because you're the ranch manager, right?
I am, yeah. So I had I've been with the ex-overland team for going on, I think, 13 years now. And, Clay and Rochelle approached us with my wife and I with an idea of they wanted to have a hard space for people to come back to. We're consistently going out and doing shows and expos, and we're also going out and doing our the actual media behind what we do. The dream was kind of put out there as a 5-year dream. We're going to put this out there and say, hey, we would love to have a hard space for people to come back to. Well, this property, fast forward through it, it kind of fell in our laps in a way that was like, all right, we're going to do it. So 9 months later, after we put pen to paper on the dream, Clay and Rochelle bought the ranch. It's just actually outside Three Forks, so just down from the headwaters, about 4 or 5 miles from the headwaters. So you go past Logan Gun Range there, and
I can't wait to check it out one of these days.
Yeah, you definitely need to.
Very
it's a really special space. We've done a lot of work out there. It was what was once a wedding venue. We have 10 cabins, luxury cabins. A cabin has a connotation different for everybody, right?
Yeah,
you might
think
you'd be roughing it. You're definitely not roughing it at the ex-Overland Ranch, unless you want to. We have that option as well. But yeah, we have 10 cabins there. We have a beautiful lodge space we call the Roadhouse. We have the hub, which fits 340 people. So for big product launches, for corporate retreats, that kind of thing. We have
or like a cool wedding party.
Absolutely,
too,
yeah. So we don't do a whole lot of weddings anymore, but we definitely have a few slots in there that we can fit people into. But and then tons of room for adventuring. The gun ranges, we have four-wheel drive trails, we got bush strip for landing planes on. There's all kinds of fun stuff going on out there. We have classroom spaces and an armory, and we got a lot of fun going on out there, and we've done a lot of work in the last year to get it to where it is at this point.
John, I know you can appreciate these overland vehicles too that these guys are the experts in, because I don't know what it was like for your federal law enforcement agency, but man, our Humvees, we'd have to drive through these wadis, through these riverbeds, these creeks. And in the spring, that's when they get the snow melt. And we were getting stuck a lot. And then they tried to push the MRAPs out there, which, yeah, they're great for IED protection. But they're not so great when you're driving on a mountaintop that's like a little finger with cliffs on both sides. And so you got maintenance issues. These are Caterpillar engines. And then you're losing your defs and you're losing, all sorts of. Luckily, we had some great National Guard guys that were mechanics back home. Because, driving overland, a lot of issues.
Yep. Oh, my God. Specializing in the jungle ops like I did, that was your thing, was getting stuck all the time. I've been on ops where you get stuck every couple of miles because you're driving through these bogs in a jungle trying to get out to a lab facility. Yeah, it's a real pain. That's when you really wish. And you'd be getting stuck in Toyota Land Cruisers, are, the gold standard of those kind of
vehicle out there.
Right,
yeah.
Still getting stuck.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, we've done, we mitigate a lot of that with our builds, because you got to survive out of that thing. So we have all kinds of extraction methods.
I just actually had to pull myself out. So these rigs just came back from Africa, and I'm driving around at Sequoia right now because my actual daily driver's in the getting worked on at the mechanic, and I'm I'm out looking at some elk near the Bridgers. I'll leave it at that.
Yeah.
And one of my tires slips off the side of the road, and here I am 4 or 5 foot deep in snow like that, and I had to self-rescue, get out of there by myself. So nothing to winch to. So we have these Max tracks. They're you know, tread platforms that you got to put under the tires, and inch by inch worked our way out of there. It was certainly a reminder of why we do what we do, you know, and recognizing that you know, you could certainly be in trouble, especially in a Montana winter like this. You could be in trouble very fast.
Yeah, it was so cool talking to them too, because I was like, wow, you guys are living the dream, traveling all over the world, doing these overland expeditions, seeing some incredible places. But then you get to come home to Montana too.
Pretty special.
And so it's a pretty special place. We're all pretty special to be Montanans. That is for sure. All right, quick break here. Montana Talks live from the SHOT Show in Las Vegas. Day two. The Attorney General is here, and we've got more guests.
This is where Montana talks. Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
John, did you have to go, like, peel people away from Attorney General Austin Knute? This guy comes down the hall, and it's like the bee swarm is around him. Everybody wants to shake his hand, say hi to everybody. Excuse me, important interview.
His entourage, he's like a member of a boy band that comes down here. It's like women screaming, and it's craziness. Yeah.
Flattery gets you nowhere, guys. I have nothing cool to give you.
Yeah. Well, I got cool stuff for you.
You got all the swag.
Look at this.
Yeah. Not me.
We got all this 82 coffee cup. We got coffee. We got coffee cups. We got John. Keep your jacket closed. I don't want to know what you're selling down here in Vegas, but man, good times. Good times. No, Attorney General Austin Knute, man, you've been coming here for over a decade.
Yeah.
Before you were Speaker of the House, before you were running for Attorney General, and so you're amongst a whole bunch of good friends here.
We love coming to SHOT Show anymore, Aaron, because we come down to see friends that we haven't seen in a year. I think I figured out this is my 13th SHOT Show, something like that. We're coming down here before I was ever anything. Christy and I are gun people. This is what we do. We love the industry, but we're competitive shooters. We're hunter. I mean, everybody in Montana hunts, but you know, some people watch football on Sunday. I'm usually at my reloading bench doing something with a firearm. So, yeah.
Well, I sat in on this Attorney's General forum yesterday. You and several other Attorneys General that are here. But, you know, I've got full audio. I can save that for next week because our listeners want to hear about the cool guns and gear. You went and walked the floor with our friend Scott Aspenlighter yesterday. I know the governor walked the floor, especially to the Montana booths. What's the best stuff you saw? What's the coolest stuff you saw, especially the Montana stuff?
All right, so we have not had a ton of time to walk around the show much yesterday.
Did a little bit, okay.
But still did see some cool stuff. And so both Montana made and literally the coolest thing I've seen so far, Shield Arms. Our good friends up in Big Fork, former Representative Seth Burgley and his partner, Brandon Zider. Shield Arms is doing just some really, really fun stuff. Those guys are not sitting on their laurels. They've got a new modular pistol coming out. They just unveiled it.
I was trying to describe this to John earlier, but I know you'll describe it way better than I could.
Well, I mean, the modular pistol, it's got a rail that comes out. You can swap out grip modules. You want a small grip, you want a big grip, it's completely modular. It's so cool. They've got a completely new design, new pistol. It's going to take their S15 magazines, which are fantastic. But it's compact size. It's not a big full size pistol. I'm really excited about it. They had a ton of people come by their booth and look at it yesterday. That's the coolest thing so far.
Yeah,
we'll see what today holds for us.
And it's a Montana company, yeah. A Montana business.
Smith and Wesson, of course. I'm a big Smith and Wesson guy. I have been forever. They kind of lit the show on fire because they just announced a new line of. They've gotten rid of the internal lock that made a whole bunch of people mad during the Clinton administration. They kind of capitulated to Bill Clinton and they included a keyed lock in the side of the gun. Made a lot of the purists mad, so they announced a line that they're taking the Hillary Clinton lock out of it.
They're throwing it back to the old school.
They are.
Nice.
They are.
Nice.
We love it.
Yeah, and then it was so cool too walking around with you guys a little bit yesterday, and we run across just the titans of the gun industry, but just great American patriots. So I'm walking with you guys, and your lovely wife Christy is here. And we walk past Marty Daniels with Daniels Defense, one of the well-known gun companies in America.
Yeah.
And, of course, Marty just lights up when he sees Christy.
Everybody lights up when
That's
they
right.
see Christy.
That's right.
I'm just Christy's husband.
Yeah, yeah.
Everyone loves her.
Yeah.
No, Marty Daniel is a patriot. That man, he literally went from being a garage door manufacturer and salesman to started making a couple widgets because he started shooting three gun, was looking for parts, but nobody made what he wanted, so he started making them. Now one of the premier firearms manufacturers in America, sells guns all over the world, but also just a great, great American. Just a wonderful, wonderful person. He and his wife, Cindy, great folks.
Yeah. John Jackson, I want you to jump in with a question. Well, first off, anything you want to jump in on, but maybe an ATF-related question. What changes now with the Trump administration and the old regime out? Now that the Dem AGs are trying to fight the Trump administration, et cetera. So all those dynamics, I'd be interested in your take on a question or a comment that AG Knutson could weigh in on. But one other thing I wanted to say is, so last night, thanks to Daniels Defense and Marty Daniels, this young veteran, he gave a speech, and then he did a poem about Old Glory.
So moving.
Wow. Evangelo Van Morris is his name. Scott Aspenletter and I were talking. We're like, we got to get this guy to Montana and bring him to as many schools as we can get to. Maybe we can get him to the big air show with the Blue Angels next year as well. Wasn't that powerful?
It was amazing. There was not a peep in the room. You could have heard pin drop. Just such a great story to get up there, but then did that poem about Old Glory. And I'm kind of a stoic guy, you know, but even I teared up a little bit. It was so moving.
Yeah. I was doing everything I could to hold it in. So it was very powerful. And then a Gold Star father, the father of a fallen warrior, got up there and spoke as well about, you know, the foundation work supported by Daniel's Defense. And he talked about watching the inauguration earlier this week. I'm hoping I can get a chance to have that father on this show if he's still around, maybe tomorrow. John Jackson sidekicking with us here for our SHOT Show coverage. What would you throw at the AG? Maybe an ATF? Anyway, what do you got for us?
Don't actually throw anything at him.
Yeah. He can fire back.
Put down the coffee cup.
Yeah.
I made a comment earlier that Aaron told me that you agree with, is that I think the problems coming out of the ATF are mostly from the regulatory side. My entire career experience with their agent side of the house was always good. These guys were always working to put the worst of the worst bad guys in jail, and they would work in conjunction with us, take a firearm, take that to a federal charge to get this drug trafficker, yep, you know, an extra help to us. Always had good relationships with that. I think it's the regulatory side of the house that's the problem.
I'd agree with that. I mean, so to answer your first question, Aaron, what happens to the ATF now under President Donald J. Trump? Well, hopefully it becomes a convenience store. That's kind of what we're all going for. But no, look, John, my experience both as a county attorney before with the ATF, but also now as the attorney general, the agents we have on the ground in Montana, and there's only a handful of them, pretty good dudes, like honestly, helpful. I've had to call them a couple times just for industry friends having some issues. And they're Johnny on the spot. They do try to do the right thing. The trouble is the administration, you know, and quietly they'll tell you that, you know, but they had to be careful. I'd agree with you. It was coming from the regional offices, but more importantly, it was coming from Merrick Garland.
Oh, sure. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, and what's going to be really interesting now, we had Lars Larson on yesterday, and he's in a blue state. He's still trapped behind enemy lines in, I think, Washington and Oregon. And so now those blue state AGs are trying to fight the Trump administration on birthright citizenship. But, you know, really, it was the red state AGs led by you in so many of these cases that was reining in the Biden regime and holding them accountable. But yet, here was the Biden administration just trying to bury you in a whole bunch of pile of BS and manure to keep you from doing other important work, because you had to keep an eye on all the trash they were throwing at you.
Yeah, it was crazy. I mean, there's definitely going to be a sea change now. You're going to see the Democrat state AGs try to push back on Donald Trump. The difference is Donald Trump isn't flagrantly violating the law. And I don't throw that around lightly, right? Like, I know what I just said. But it's a fact. The Biden administration was shoving rules out faster than we could even get them noticed, like literally violating the Administrative Procedures Act by not allowing proper notice and comment time, because it was just flagrant partisan shoving out rules. I had to have a full-time staffer in my office just keeping an eye on the Federal Register, because we never knew what was going to drop day to day. I mean, Donald Trump and his team, say whatever you want about them, they can read the law and they follow it. Like, yeah, a flurry of executive orders, but I challenge you. There's a couple of them. I think there's maybe treading on some new ground, but very thoughtful stuff. And they're not just shotgunning out garbage for the base here.
Yeah. Yeah. A couple more minutes to go here with Attorney General Austin Knutson. Who are you planning to go see today? You mentioned getting to see some of the booths yesterday. What are some of the stops you're making here later today?
We got to go by Ruger. I'm a lever gun guy. Ruger is now, they own Marlin. If you're any kind of a lever gun person, you know Marlin's a fantastic lever gun company that's been resurrected by Ruger. I want to go by Winchester. We love to cover the floor and go to as many of the Montana booths as we can. We got to get downstairs and see the actual Department of Commerce booth. My friends at Hammer Bullets are downstairs. They're out of Big Fork. We love to get around and see as much of the Montana stuff as we can.
Yeah. Well, so great to see you here. John, anything else? About a minute and a half to go before we hit this next break.
Yeah, you make the perfect point. And you saw that. That was the first time, I think, in our history, in my lifetime, we've seen an administration like the Biden regime that didn't care about the law.
Yeah.
What they were doing was just rolling up mud balls, throwing them at the wall, and making you take them to court.
Totally.
And that's what they were going to do with every single thing. If you didn't take them to court, then it stood.
It was also interesting yesterday. There were some blue state folks that were in there during the Q&A that were asking these red state AGs, what can you do to help us? And it's like, well, Donald Trump and that.
Move.
Yeah.
Move is what I said. Get out of your blue state. Why are you still in Maryland?
Yeah. West Virginia is like 5 miles that way.
What are you doing?
You know, yeah. Yeah. Well, Attorney General Austin Knutson, great to see you as always.
Thanks, guys.
Thanks for your team. Christy Knutson, great to see you as always as well. The queen of the SHOT Show. We need, you know, the Safari Club has like their Dianas. The SHOT Show needs something like that.
Christy is Montana's first law lady.
I think you need to start something, Christy. The Dianas of the SHOT Show. You know, Tom Oprey and his wife.
Yeah,
great people. Anyway, good to see you guys. Thanks so much for taking your time. John Jackson, the Joker from X, with us for the rest of the hour. We got Agent Peter Johnson.
Agent Jeff.
Right after this, here on Montana Talks in Vegas.
This is where Montana Talks at, with Lane Nordlund.
Russian wheat production took a hit in 2024. Russia's grain output fell 14% from the 2023 record, with wheat production down 16% to 82 million metric tons. Other crops in Russia, like maize, barley, and sugar beets, also declined around 20%, with potato yields dropping 10%. Extreme heat in July, with temperatures exceeding 95 degrees for weeks in key growing regions, compounded the drought's impact. Russia's spring freezes in May also saw lows at 24 degrees, stunted wheat growth, leaving crops vulnerable to summer's harsh conditions. Because of this, Russia's wheat exports for 2025 are now projected to drop over 60%, with quotas set at less than 11 million metric tons. That's down from 29 million metric tons last year, which is good news for U.S. wheat producers. Concerns are now focusing on the 2025 Russian wheat crop, which faces risks from limited snow cover and potential cold snaps, jeopardizing estimates of an 80 million metric ton harvest, similar to the 2024 levels. Again, bearish news for U.S. wheat producers. And while it seems bullish, the U.S. wheat outlook price for 2025 is just $5.26 a bushel. I'm Lane Northlund.
Serving the great state of Montana, from the peaks of the Beartooths to the banks of the Clark Fork River, Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
All right, before we get to our next great guest here joining us live from the SHOT Show in Las Vegas, John, a couple of things for you here. First off, President Trump, I just got the breaking news alert, he is addressing the World Economic Forum, the corrupt folks in Davos right now. I mean, that's the equivalent of what he just did in the Capitol earlier this week, where he said what he said right with Joe Biden and Kamala Harris and everybody else sitting right there. That's the equivalent of what he's doing right now in Davos.
Hopefully he's doing exactly what Javier Milei, the president of Argentina, did to them, what was it, a month or so ago, where he just got up. I think he got up and talked to them and said, everything you're doing here is destroying the world, and Argentina is not going to be a part of it at all, just so you know.
Yeah, if you wanted to go to the place, and these are the arsonists that are starting fires all over the world and burning this world to the ground with their great reset policies. I mean, we saw it during COVID-19 on steroids, and he is going to the arsonists and calling them out. You know, it's very interesting. On a funny note, though, I think you were the one who told me this. Wasn't there something on X that because the woke left is starting to get rejected worldwide, not just in America, a lot of these people decided not to show up in Davos for the World Economic Forum this year. And since a lot of these left-wing oligarchs decided not to show up, apparently the prostitution business is down quite significantly.
Yes, a decline in the high-class call girl request by 60%. 60% down for them. So they're going to have to go back to teaching or whatever they do, you know, for their side job.
Yeah, I guess I got to go back to CNN. You know, the prostitution things, your business is down right now, so I'll go back to whoring myself out like Jim Acosta, you know.
It really is a gathering of the world's Bond villains. It's right out of a James Bond movie. I mean, seriously.
Exactly. All right. Well, hey, we got a great guest. Wait, what was the Die Hard reference? So you were talking about Agent Johnson.
Do you remember? Hi, I'm Agent Johnson. This is Agent Johnson. No, say, you know. No, the other one.
Yeah. Well, I'll tell you what. I'm glad you get to meet Peter Johnson, Agent Johnson.
Agent Johnson.
So, Air Force veteran. He did security forces. Air Base Ground Defense. And then he was a federal air marshal. John's a retired federal law enforcement officer himself as well. And he's a character, as you can tell. So, Peter, Agent Johnson, you were here 1 year ago at the SHOT Show. You got a couple of defense-related businesses, security businesses. You walked past the Montana booth. And what happens next?
Yeah, we've been coming to SHOT Show for years now. But last year, walking by the Montana booth, and I randomly picked one of the cards off the table, and it was Frederick from Commerce. And he came out from around the booth. He's like, oh, you took my card. Long story short, he invited us up to the governor's reception, cocktail reception. And we listened to the governor give a speech on why Montana is open for business, why it's pro-2A, and why it's the last best place. And that, literally 1 year ago, that was enough that in October, we officially moved everything to Montana. Our companies have all moved. We've moved ourselves to Montana. We went all in.
And then the governor is telling your story all over the place now, because I just talked with him yesterday here. Are your brothers now moving their businesses to Montana as well?
My brothers just flew out to meet with on the property development side, so a non-firearms related business, but we're looking at divesting from states that don't respect entrepreneurship and the risk that comes with that, and putting those dollars into states that actually care. And they don't want to put the thumb on the scale one way or another. They just want to let entrepreneurs win.
Yeah, yeah. So, and you were in Minnesota at the time.
Yep, I call it the Communist People's Republic. So with Walls.
And if people didn't know that before, they saw it after Tampon Tim Walls took the national stage, and they're like, oh my goodness, not only did they let Minneapolis burn to the ground.
7 miles.
But, I mean, that guy was nuts, and the policies are nuts, and anti-business, and it's like, you know, whether you were left, right, or whatever, why would you continue to tolerate that?
And that's, we didn't. We decided... COVID opened up the eyes of a lot of people in a lot of these dark blue states, and Minnesota has a pseudo-Marxist communist undertone to some elements of their politics, and it went into hyperdrive after COVID. It was too much for us, and we said, we don't want the government in our lives. We just want to do the right thing, build business, and live in peace.
And so many, you know, as a fellow veteran, I love it because veterans, they love Montana. If they hadn't been to Montana before, they love Montana because especially whatever they're dealing with, whatever they've seen, whatever they've done in life, Montana is a respite into it. It literally is God's country. But you already knew that because you would come rock climbing in Montana.
Yeah, hiking in Montana, target shooting in Montana. Good friend has a place down outside of Red Lodge. Other friend out in Nye. So we'd be traveling through, and then as we're traveling the country for Archway Defense, training cops, driving through Montana to go out train Seattle PD, we'd always make a stop here and explore in between that trip. So Montana was such an easy yes for us, and that's why 1 year ago when we heard the governor give his speech, I'm like, this is it. We're doing it.
That's awesome. Yeah, and then last month, or the month before that, I had you in studio. You just, later that day, you were doing the ribbon cutting. The Big Sky EDA has kind of this beehive entrepreneurial space, and so that's where you're at.
Yeah. It is wild. So Commerce Department said, hey, because I was going to get an office for Archway, and then we also have a tech startup that I co-founded in 2019 on VR, immersive generative training. Well, we were looking at offices. They're like, just start at Big Sky and then go out from there. The velocity in which people, and this is where most entrepreneurs or business owners at SHOT Show will never fully appreciate, the access to people who genuinely want to help you just connect with the right people. The government's not going to give you money, but they will open the door and say, who do you need to talk to? And I'd be happy to make that introduction. That is the most impressive thing. The velocity in which people have been willing to network in Montana has been, it's actually broken my mind a little bit.
So, John, you're a retired federal law enforcement officer, so you've had a good amount of tactical training and experience overseas, down south, domestic as well. So if I remember right, Peter Johnson, one of his businesses, they can also do like virtual reality tactical training for law enforcement. So knowing just that, what question or what comment would you throw to Agent Johnson here?
Former Air Marshal.
No relation.
Yeah.
No, that stuff was great, and I have no idea what generation you would be on right now with that kind of training, but I loved it when I did it because it provides the agent or the officer the ability in every kind of different scenarios. You can just program in different scenarios and see how they react under that stress. And you're giving them seconds to make a decision about shoot or don't shoot. I love that stuff.
And the best part is in VR with the code that we're able to write, instead of having an instructor there programming it and saying, okay, the scenario is going to go this way, the code is the instructor. And as the person interacts with the course, it changes. And then we collect all that data and give them the feedback at the end so they can actually see, okay, I did well here. I need to improve here. And they're getting that instant feedback loop through coding.
You know, and I've at the mall in Billings a few years ago, they had a virtual reality game place. There, so let's take the kids down there. So I did like boxing. It was like a real workout. I was like, holy cow, man, I am sweating right now. And then some of the shooter games in that, it was like I could totally see how that would be great training because you feel it, and you have to do the physical moves and everything.
All we're doing is replicating the concept of aviation flight trainers. Most commercial pilots don't fly the aircraft outside of when they're working. When they have to train, they go in the simulator because it's safer. You can make all the mistakes in the world, and you can fail
fast. Not burning up gas or ammo. Yep. Yeah.
So we're taking that same principle and saying, why can't we apply that to the law enforcement public safety? So we just finished a bomb course, explosive awareness detection course. So it's suspicious versus unattended items. It's an 8-hour course. We distilled it into 30 minutes based on the path of the user, but we can prove that they learned it because we're collecting the data and showing that by the time they're done, we can absolutely confirm that that person knows the content.
Very cool. And you're doing this training for law enforcement all over the place. And so you were talking with AG Knutsmell, maybe doing a law enforcement tour across Montana. How can people get a hold of you?
Yeah, reach out to us at archwaydefense.com. That's archwaydefense.com or any social media at Archway Defense. Especially if you're law enforcement, we're sponsored to provide rifle training at no cost to the agency, no cost to the taxpayer. You provide the officers, the range, and the ammo. We provide everything else.
Well, Peter Johnson, great to see you once again. So cool to hear your SHOT Show story. And I know the governor's really excited about it. He can't stop talking about it. So thanks for coming down and joining us
thanks
here
for
as well.
Me on.
All right. John, speaking of virtual reality and simulators and things like this, tomorrow at this exact same moment, I think I'm going to do it live on the air. They have that simulator so you can see and kind of feel what it's like to actually be shot so that you know how to respond, how to fire with one arm or whatever. Those guys who have that VR technology are going to come by tomorrow at this very time. We might as well do it live, right, Bill O'Reilly?
We're going to do it live.
We're doing it live. All right. Hey, wait till you hear this guy's story next. I met him at that Daniels Defense event last night. This guy's got an incredible story. Stand by.
Studio. Broadcasting live across the great state of Montana, powered by the Montana Electric Cooperative Association. Your Montana Electric Cooperative, they do much more than keep the lights on for you. This is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
All right, real quick here before we get to this incredible guest, Scott in Butte just sent us a message on the Montana Talks app. Aaron, could you please put out that Saturday, January 25th, the Silver Bow Readiness Center for the Montana Army National Guard is having an open house from 10 a.m. until 12 p.m. So thank you for that news. Yeah, I did see they're opening up a new readiness center for the Montana National Guard in Butte for the Silver Bow Readiness Center. So thanks for sharing the info on that open house. So, John, I was telling you about this this gentleman here. Got to meet him last night, just very briefly. You know, I talk about him, there was a woman there, and I said, well, tell me about your company. Tell me about your business. She says, well, we're pro-Second Amendment. We're pro-life. We're pro-faith and family. And I said, well, you know, it's interesting. You're pro-Second Amendment, but, you know, the SHOT Show is a pro-life show. This is a pro-life event because these people here have the equipment that can save lives. They are here that will help you save lives. But this gentleman over here, Taylor Winston. Here we go. Let me turn his mic on. Taylor Winston. First off, great to see you. Thanks for being with us.
Thank you guys for having me
and for coming over. So yep. Marine Corps RAC veteran, right?
Yep.
So he's also an ambassador for Turning Point USA. So he speaks at, you know, schools and all across the country. But a mutual friend of ours from WSI that we met last year, she introduced us to him. But when the Las Vegas mass shooting happened here in Las Vegas and there were so many casualties, this guy went and basically borrowed a pickup. He grabs his pickup truck. He drives in, picks up casualties, takes them to the hospital, starts dropping off casualties, drives back in with the gunfire still going, picks up more casualties. Did I get that right? That's the basic gist of the story.
Yeah. I lucked out, first of all. I don't know how in-depth we want to get about the shooting, but essentially my story is, when the shooting happened, I ran to the employee parking lot. I've been to a lot of festivals in my past, and I knew there would be a vehicle somewhere with a key in it. Literally the first vehicle I checked by the grace of God, had the keys in the center console, and just drove straight in and started loading as many critically injured people as possible. We then went to the hospital. The girl I was with, she, just Google mapped the closest hospital. We drove straight there. We come screeching into the hospital, started dumping bodies into the lobby, and said there's going to be a lot more. And then said we got to go back. And we did. And so we did a second trip, brought another round through, and then we went back a third time. And at that time, what I didn't know was you can't go into an active shooting zone with ambulances. They have to wait until it's completely cleared and stopped.
Wow.
So the actions of not only myself, but, you know, thousands of other people started using their own personal vehicles. I wasn't the only person that used a vehicle. My story was unique because I stole a truck and then I used it for two different trips. So most people, if they heard someone screaming or need help, they put them in the car and took them. And so that's where there's just a little bit of difference, but there was a lot of heroes that night. And biggest story, or I guess the biggest takeaway from this would be there's more good in this world than evil.
You got to be reminded of that, yeah. Too. Yeah.
There was one person that wanted to harm others, and thousands helped each other. They didn't care what your religion was, your race, your sexuality. None of that mattered. What I cared about was this person's bleeding. Let's get a tourniquet on them and get them in the vehicle.
So why would a guy who survived a mass shooting, especially one as horrific as that, be at a gun show?
So, as you said, just before I hopped on, guns save lives. There's no disputing that in any way, shape, or form. A gun is a tool. And when I was kind of on my way to advocacy anyway, and then I happened to be in the Vegas shooting, and then I really felt called to jump into the conversation more. Most people talk about all their advocacy and they can say all the talking points, but then to actually be part of something that horrific and use that to help educate others is rare. So I felt called to stand on the front lines and come educate as many people as possible.
And John, I know we're short on time. We only got about a minute or so to go here, but part of what he was telling me last night and what they're doing with Turning Point USA is exposing how so many of these, you know, the pharmaceutical drug industry and how some of these drugs are connected to practically every single one of these, yep, of these mass shootings and some of these other crazy incidents. So
if you see these things on television, you say, like your television, you watch TV, it's every other ad is some kind of new, yeah, drug for any kind of ailment or symptom you have. But sometime during the commercial, it'll say, these side effects can come, blah, 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 blah.
Yeah, as quick as possible.
Side effects that can imagine doubling, tripling up on some of these meds, it'd drive you crazy.
So that's where my journey has gone to, because I didn't know what was causing all this mass violence, and I wanted to figure out how to speak against it and be able to educate people. Like, it's not the guns. We know this. What is the problem then? And people say mental health. That's the wrong terminology. It's... mental health is completely different. We're not providing psychiatric care anymore. We're providing medication prescriptions. And so most of these drugs have a 3-5% black box label that say you will have homicidal or suicidal thoughts. And so if you have that data, which is, I think, on the low end, you then know over 6.4 million people are actively using this that we know of. That means over 300,000 people will have an episode of psychotic or homicidal, suicidal thoughts.
Doesn't affect everybody who uses the medications, but apparently a significant number.
Yeah.
Hey, so great to meet you. Such an honor.
Yes,
thanks,
sir,
for what you did. Thanks for what
you're
doing.
Thank you, guys.
John Jackson, we'll see you here again tomorrow with day 3 of our live coverage from the SHOT Show in Vegas.